Welcome to Take It From The Iron Woman. My name is Susanne Müller, your host and the Iron Woman. This podcast is about empowering yourself and others to make real changes in the world. You will hear from everyday, smart, sophisticated, hip people like you and me. Not everybody has to be an Iron Woman to impress the world. Together, we will learn from the sports and business leaders how you can become a more successful person as an entrepreneur or a leader. It's one step at a time, one day at a time. Take your steps now. Take your big steps now. Join me on this journey to success. Take It From The Iron Woman. We've spoken to Karen before. She is a comedian. She has a podcast and she's a triathlete and an attorney. So listen to her story. Thank you so much for being with us, Karen. I want to talk a little bit about the comedian because when I check your website, I was like, oh my God, I've never had a comedian on my podcast. And also when we talk about the podcast and the purple bike and going back and the comedian, what is that telling you in your everyday life? Because obviously my theme is like global business coaching with sports parallels. What can we learn from the sports that you bring into the business, or what do you have learned as a comedian to bring into sports? I'm wondering, are there any parallels that you have seen and that you can share with the listeners?
Oh, that is a really great question. In terms of the comedy, I started out as a lawyer and I was a trial attorney for many years. And then I had kids, and I had 3 kids in 3 years and was home with 3 little kids and decided to stop practicing law and become a full-time mom. And I found from that I really did need something for myself to be a better mother. I signed up for a stand-up comedy class just to go have a night to myself once a week and get out of the house. And so ultimately, and that was 2004. It's been a while. But I found that with the comedy, and most of my comedy is centered around either being a parent, being a wife. It's about family stuff. I work as a clean comedian. Clean means no swearing. And in terms of material, it's not, I don't do shows for kids, but I do shows that if you wanted to bring your grandmother, material would be appropriate. It's not in a, you know, not too much sex stuff, not bad language. But my shows tend to be in more of a theater setting than in a comedy club. The parallel in terms of the sports and that sort of thing, I think goes back to, I know that I started doing triathlons purely out of selfishness for myself. I wanted to say, can I do this? Can I finish? Particularly that first one in 2010, it was just, can I finish? Yeah. How you have your goals for each one. My goal, and it's still sort of my goal, I just want to finish. And then as I did more of them, it became, I want to finish, but I'd like to beat my last time. Or I used to increase. But that very first one in terms of training was all about, okay, I'm really good at being a mom and a wife and all these things, but this is just for me. And I think there's something about doing the triathlon training and the comedy for me that this is my thing. I find that I'm a better, happier person if I've done these things. You don't feel like you're, oh, I'm doing stuff for everybody. I'm making everyone happy but myself. I think you everyone, all of us, particularly female athletes, need to say, okay, what's my priority? What's going to be the best for me, for my nutrition, for my body, for my training? Those days that you need an off day, that you have to listen to your body and have a rest day, have yourself a rest day. Sometimes you need that as well. So the comedy is kind of the same thing. I do the comedy for myself because it makes me happy and it makes me a better person to be around.
I have no idea about comics. The only thing that I know is that stand-up comedians tend to be introverted people because they, I don't know, they say something and everybody laughs and they're like, okay, move on. Is that the right assumption? Tell us a little bit. How did you get to that fascination?
I think it would describe myself as an extroverted introvert. It's, I don't like to be, and I have friends who are comedians that are on all the time. They're always cracking jokes, or they always have to be loud, or they always have to be the center of attention. But I prefer to like observe then I write my material. Like I'll go to the grocery store and I'll see a lady doing something funny at the checkout. And I'm not going to, but I'll write that down and maybe I'll talk about that later in my comedy set. I tend to be more introverted and then I'm observing my humor is observational. And then I also think what's great about comedy, particularly the kind that I do, is that you connect with people and you can say, hey, you know what? I'm over 50. And as a female over the age of 50, we accepting certain things physically that, and if I talk about it on stage and if I talk about it in a show and other people who are my age get to think, oh, I'm not alone. It's okay to laugh at that. There's a nice sense of community. Particularly if I'm on stage and I look out of the audience and I see people nodding, like, oh, that happened to me, or my husband does that, or things like that. There's a sense of community that we are not alone. And I think that's why I continue to do this.
Mm-hmm. And you said previously with the swimming, the female triathlon, it's about being nice and having the support in the community.
I know when I met my open water swim friends, who I'm dear friends with now, we're really missing each other. We were able to swim last summer because we're outdoors and we're in a lake. And so there was a lot of space apart, but we're not able to swim together like we used to. So we sort of miss that camaraderie of being able to be close together physically and train.
And when you said you went to the pool this morning, so you have to sign up. I heard of other people, they have to sign up and you can go only, I don't know, half an hour, or how does that work for you?
The way it works at our pool, which is our pool is at the local high school. And so for the master's program, they allow two people per lane, but you start on opposite ends. So you cross in the middle. You don't like stand next. They used to have more people per lane before COVID, but we do three mornings a week and it's a master's group. And so there's a coach and she has a printed workout and she prints them out on a paper and you put them on your kickboard and put them by your lane and you just kind of keep up with it. To me, it's more motivating to do it with this group because it's timed and you're trying to keep up with the next person and no one's trying to beat each other, but you're trying to keep up with the workout. And on the days that I used to go just by myself to the pool, I would talk and chat and I didn't swim as many yards as I do in an hour.
I mean, I have to say swimming, I got to love it. I'm not fast. I probably need more sessions with a coach. But for me as a coach, as an executive coach or a podcaster, I feel like I'm always talking. When I can swim, I don't have to talk to anybody. This is my time. It's my meditation. I love it. And I hear the water like, shh, shh, shh.
It is the best. And I don't think people, unless you're a swimmer and you do it a lot, you don't realize how you are in your head. This is now if I'm swimming masters and I have to be keeping up with how many laps I had, I have little rhymes. One is fun. Two is cool. Like I have these, I lose track.
Yeah.
But on the days that I'm just swimming and not keeping up, particularly in the lake or in the ocean, I sing songs or there's just something about a disconnect to your brain when you're in the water because, as you said, no one can talk to you.
Thank God.
Yeah. So that is it's a nice little brain vacation. It really is.
And I had another podcast guest and she is actually the founder of Swim Strong Foundation in New York City, where they talk about water safety. You might want to look into that.
Cool.
She talks about, and I was so impressed when she said swimming is the only sport where you can save lives.
Oh, that's actually a good point. I never really thought about that.
And
that's
the other point that was fun, she says, swimming can go from womb to tomb.
I do like in terms of that. I've had an ACL replacement. We all have injuries and there's something very nice about the swim that you don't feel like you're getting pounded. Your joints aren't getting pounded. It really does. I get out energized.
I think so. Yeah. And it feels like fresh. I mean, I always swam in the morning and you come back and you're like, and also, I'm hungry, so I think that's
it. It does increase your appetite, I feel like you deserve it though. If you've been swimming, you deserve to have a nice snack.
I think so. So, if we have somebody in the audience who would like to know more about comedy, how can we encourage them? I mean, like I know I'm a certified running coach. I've done the triathlon. I can motivate people for that. But the comedy shows, like, don't be afraid, or what would you say?
Yeah, I think that's the key. So in normal times, the asterisk, mm-hmm. not COVID times, many comedy clubs have classes. Mm-hmm. That's how I started. I started out by taking a class. I never thought I would continue still doing this, but that's mm-hmm. how I started. And yeah, part of it is you have to be comfortable in front of people. And that is a big fear. Public speaking is a very valid fear. Public speaking and trying to make people laugh at the same time is hard. Mm-hmm. It's not an easy job, but the biggest piece of advice I tell people, if you want to try it, first of all, definitely try it. It's fun, and try it because it's fun. Mm-hmm. But then when you get on stage, you should be yourself. Don't try to copy a comic that you see on TV, or that you can appreciate other people mm-hmm. that are comedians and think, oh, that person's funny, but don't try to be them. Mm-hmm. Be yourself in terms of the material that you write. I write all my own material and always have. And it's the writing process. If you're becoming a professional comedian, the writing process is pretty rigorous, and which is another reason I still do it. I'm still sort of fascinated by the writing process of comedy. Mm-hmm. It's kind of fun.
So you could put a book together with all the comedy shows you have had. How many shows have you had?
Gosh, I don't know. I've been doing it professionally since 2005. So
16 years.
Many years. I've done a couple tours. Mm-hmm. I also produced a comedy festival for 5 years where I booked other people, and I produce comedy shows now as well. So it's an interesting business. Mm-hmm. It's obviously fun. As any business, you know, you can treat it as, what can I learn from it today? Mm-hmm. What, you know, and I think that anything we do, it's what am I learning today? What's new about mm-hmm. what I'm doing today? How can I make this be better? And mm-hmm. and if you don't enjoy it, do something different.
I think, you know, that's enjoy best what advice. You're doing. Yeah. Enjoy what you're doing. Love what you do. Do what you love, right? If you're not loving it, I always say, like, especially in the pandemic now, yeah, we can be the disruptor. So even if I think there's comedy classes online, why not start online? Absolutely. And comedy shows online, everything is online. And I think even the online gives you some more confidence of speaking. Yes, you look at yourself in the computer, but I think we have to be okay with that now. I don't think we will go back to 1975, right? Without the helmet.
I don't think we are. All of my shows right now are Zoom shows. Like I did one last night for the American Bar Association. Mm-hmm. I have a few, at least two or three a week. Mm. Now I've had to learn how to work this camera. I've had to learn how to work this microphone, and it's very different than being in a room where there's live people listening to you, because you tell the story or the joke, and then you wait for the laughter. Mm-hmm. And there's an energy exchange. Yep. And when you're doing it on Zoom, a little bit of it is missed because you're not in the room.
It's the energy that you're missing, right? The physical energy. Yeah. So can you tell us a joke?
Oh, see, I can tell you a street joke. A street joke is a joke that as other people have told for years, is kind of a funny joke you may have heard. Street jokes. We had a tour that was three moms, and we would tour together. And at the end, we always did street jokes. One of my favorite one was two, and I do blonde jokes because I have blonde hair. Two blondes are sitting on a bench, and one blonde says to the other blonde, "Which do you think is farther away, Florida or the moon?" And the other blonde says, "Hello, can you see Florida?" But those are street jokes. I tell people it's fine. Practice by, if you want to get into it, start by telling street jokes, but ultimately write your own material. And all my stuff is stories about mostly my kids, making fun of my kids.
This is so fun. Thank you so much. What we want to hear, or what the listeners should hear from you, is like, do what you like, do your own stuff. Be confident. And I know from my swimming is not so easy. I think also being a comedian is not so easy. But thank you so much, Karen. This was enlightening and fun. And we need some more fun in our lives, I think.
Absolutely. Suzanne, this was a pleasure. It's so nice to talk to you today. And I want everybody to be themselves and enjoy life.
I think so. What are you taking away? It's about be yourself, do what you love, and do it. Start to do something. What can you start that you are passionate about? I'm curious to know. Tell me what it is. Reach out to me. Take it from the Iron Woman. We have episodes every Monday, Wednesday. Check it out. Don't miss out. There's something for everybody. And Take It From the Iron Woman is also a book. Get it on Amazon. There's something for you with my sport or business background. Don't miss out. See you next time. Thank you very much.